This is from John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, too, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine. Woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 80 to 120 liters. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so, and the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
This reading is from Philippians 4, 4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God will transcend all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus.
So, just for a moment, I want you to think about Christians, how they're shown in the public eye. And generally speaking, if you picture a Christian in any TV show or in a news story, you're not going to see very positive images, are you? They're often the punching bags for jokes, or they're the source of good old-fashioned cringe. Whether it be Sheldon's mum in The Big Bang Theory or Ned Flanders in The Simpsons. You see, sometimes Christians get a reputation for being a bit of a killjoy, the one that follows all the rules and gives everyone else a bunch of rules to follow. They're deadly serious about just about everything, and to be honest, they're pretty dull to be around. And the truth is that most people think that Christianity sounds boring, and sometimes that's because Christians have made it sound boring. But that's not how God intended it to be at all. In John 10, verse 10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they might have life and life to the full." In that passage, Jesus says that he's come to give life in all its fullness. Is that boring? It doesn't sound boring to me. Jesus is all about joy. He wants us to enjoy life and to make the most out of it. He wants us to laugh, to create amazing memories, to celebrate. He wants us to be silly at times. He wants us to be joyful. It might be a bit of a weird question, but have you ever thought about what Jesus' laugh sounded like? I mean, he definitely had one. He was human after all. Like, was it like a Jimmy Carr kind of laugh? Like a... Or was it like a, how did Jesus laugh? He obviously had one. And Jesus at times, he teased the disciples with the comments that he made. Jesus even cracked jokes. For example, in Matthew 23, Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and he was calling them picky and selective. And he made remarks that they would strain a gnat out of their soup but swallow a camel. The absurdity of that comment would have amused those hearing it, as well as shocking to everybody that he was taking on the religious establishment. Now, it would translate better for us today as, "Waiter, waiter, what's this gnat doing in my soup?" Probably trying to avoid the camel. Jesus was doing what good comedy has always done throughout history. He was lifting the lowly. Jesus hung out with people at dinner parties and feasts and weddings. Does that sound like a boring God to you? The first miracle that Jesus ever performed was at the wedding party, which Vera read out for us this morning. You might have thought, It's a bit of a weird passage for Martin to choose in a story about youth work, having loads of wine. But here's what I want us to remember, is that the host had run out of wine. And Jesus' mother, Mary, called him over to do something about it because she knew that he could. He told her it wasn't the right time. Can you imagine for a second just using that line on your mum? Like, Sam, let's say your mum's told you to empty the dishwasher. Mother, woman, my time has not yet come. Good luck with that one. I'd hate to think of Sam using that. But anyway, Jesus, that's what he said. But Mary pursued him anyway. And so Jesus' first ever miracle was making sure there was enough wine at the party for the party to go off with a bang. Jesus wanted to make sure there was no embarrassment for the hosts at the wedding party, but that the party could continue. Does that sound like a boring God to you? It doesn't to me. So what about us? We know a God who isn't boring, who loves to celebrate and be joyful. What does it mean for us to live a life that reflects that, to live a life to the fullest? I know for myself, I don't actually take time in my life enough to celebrate. Do you? Do you take time to recognize the things in your life that you can celebrate? There's one thing as followers of Jesus that we can always celebrate, no matter what season we're at in life. When Jesus said, I've come to bring life in all its fullness, he wasn't talking about drinking wine in parties, but actually that Jesus rose from the dead. On the first Easter Sunday, he defeated the power of death. He brought into the world life. And as Christians, we shouldn't be people of doom and gloom. We should be the ultimate party people, celebrating the full life that Jesus has won for us. See, celebration for us as Christians isn't just restricted to special events like holidays, Easter, and Christmas. Celebration should be part of our everyday lives, especially our everyday walk with God. God wants us to be people full of joy, even if there isn't much to enjoy in life sometimes. Jesus wants us to celebrate the big things and the small things in life. Celebration is mentioned throughout the Bible in many different ways. The Israelites, they had big festivals and feasts to remember what God had done for them and to express their thankfulness. We see celebration in the story of the prodigal son, where the father welcomes his son home, his rebellious son home, and what's the first thing he does? He holds a huge party. God loves it when we celebrate. God loves it, and he even commands it at times. And like with the Israelites, he knows how important it is for us to have fun and joy together. However, I do recognize that sometimes it takes a choice to celebrate. Sometimes we have to consciously find reasons to celebrate or even be cheerful. I want us to consider what it means to celebrate, but how we can be people full of life and full of joy in the life that God has given us. And if the PowerPoint works, I want to play a little bit of a game. Wonderful, it's up there. And this game I've called Joy versus Happiness, so that we can understand the differences together. So I'm going to show you a statement, and if you think it's joy, okay, if you think the answer is joy, I want you to do some jazz hands, okay? Jazz hands for joy, okay? And if you think it's the answer is happiness, I want you to force yourself to smile, okay? So just have a smile with fingers at your faces, okay? Right, so joy versus happiness. Let's have the first one. Is a feeling, okay? Is joy a feeling or is happiness a feeling? What are we saying? Joy versus happiness. Ooh, bit of a mixture. We've got about half and half. Okay, right, how about the next one? Is temporary. Happiness is temporary or joy is temporary? Okay, joy. Okay, joy, mostly joy here. Okay, no, sorry, happiness, mostly happiness. Okay, is about thankfulness. Okay, so which one's about thankfulness? Is that joy or is that happiness? Okay, lots of joy in the room. Joy is about thankfulness. Okay, next one. Is based on your own choice. Okay, is joy based on our own choice or is happiness based on our own choice. What do we think? This one's splitting the room again. Some people saying joy, some people saying happiness. Okay, let's have next one. Is an outward expression. Okay, is happiness an outward expression or is joy an outward expression? Majority are saying, it's a split the room again. Some people are saying both. Okay. Is it the last one? Is rooted in who God is. What do we think? Joy? Yep. One of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. So joy rooted in who God is. Okay. Depends on external circumstances. We're saying happiness, okay? Mostly happiness. Okay, happiness depends on external circumstances. Right. Was that the last one? That was. Brilliant. So we usually associate celebration with joy. But it is said that there's a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness depends on our circumstances. We feel happy when our football team wins the match or when we're doing something we enjoy with our friends. But joy comes from deep down inside us. The Holy Spirit gives us joy as He lives in us. He wants us to celebrate and rejoice in life. He wants us to live a life full of joy. But joy isn't about laughing or being happy all the time. God doesn't call us to live a life of happiness, but a life of joy. In the passage that Sam read out for us, it said, "Be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let your joy overflow." Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's something that we can have every day of our lives. It's more than happiness and it lasts longer than happiness. Joy doesn't mean that we have to smile permanently, have it plastered all over our face, or that we should pretend to be happy when we're not. Joy is about choosing to focus on God and place our hope in Him in all situations, whether they're good or whether they're bad. It's also about choosing to be thankful and worship God regardless of our circumstances. Sometimes we might not feel like celebrating, but through knowing God and walking with Him, we can experience joy in every season of life. When I was asked to lead this morning and share a little bit about the youth ministry here, I was thinking, what could I possibly speak on and reflect on as part of the service? And that got me thinking, what is it about youth ministry that is so great? And the honest truth is that 99% of the time, youth ministry is an absolute joy to be involved with. From building relationships with young people through playing games or chatting about whatever's happening at school, to seeing young people experience God for the first time in worship, prayer, or a new revelation from the Bible. How joyous is that? We've heard this morning from folks that have either been part of the youth ministry or been leaders and how it's affected them. So I would also love to extend that invitation out this morning to all of you to come and experience the joy that comes with serving young people. It doesn't matter how old you are or where you are on your walk with Christ, there's always a place for you. I remember when I first arrived at Shirley, John Barclay, who's, let's be honest, isn't the youngest guy in the world, but he would often come every Friday to youth club. And that's the Friday Night Youth Club, and he would serve on the tuck shop. That's not a hard job at all, but if you ask the young people, they'd probably say it was the most important job at youth club. But I'm sure John wouldn't mind me saying to him, that brought joy, both to him and to the young people. When John would remember their names and ask them how their weeks had been and provide snacks for the evening, that brought joy. There's space for you too among the youth ministry here at SBC. So if God is speaking to you about getting involved either with Girls Brigade, Boys Brigade, or any of the other groups that involve young people, then please do come and speak to myself or anyone on the Welcome Hub this morning. If you think that's where God might be prompting you to get involved, we can work together to find a place where you too can experience the joy that is youth ministry. As I've said, there are so many different things we can celebrate and be thankful for each day. We can celebrate big events and achievements in life, but as followers of God, we want to be people who live with celebration in our hearts and rejoice in God. So I want us to take a moment to recognize the things that we celebrate today. And I want to kind of close with a bit of a prayerful activity where we can focus on what we're truly thankful for this morning, whether it be big or small. It could be that you're thankful that you're going on holiday this year or that there's a new baby in the family. It could even be that you're thankful that you had time to eat breakfast this morning. Whatever it is, what we're going to do is hopefully everyone should have a piece of bunting, a little triangle on their chairs. If you haven't got one, there's some more down the front. But I want us to write something down on this bunting that we are thankful for this morning, okay? And then what we're going to do is on the end of each rose, there should be a piece of string, and we're going to thread all our bunting down. And then during the next song, I would like us to, whoever's on the end of the row, bring your string of bunting with everyone's thankfulness, what everyone is thankful for, to the front. So at the end of the service, people can come and read, and we can hear what God is doing in the lives of people today, big and small. Whatever we're thankful for, let us rejoice in that. We must remember to thank God at all times. So, let's celebrate good times. Come on. We're not going to sing Celebrate Good Times, come on. No, that's fine. We are going to sing Living Hope and Cornerstone, though, as well. So if you are on the end of the row, once everyone has written their thankfulness, once everyone has written their thankfulness bunting, if you want to thread it on and then bring them down to the front as we sing Living Hope and Cornerstone.